RNZ Pacific News, Holokatawantok, Mikoroi Hawkins. Kiribati is reportedly returning to the Pacific Islands Forum. Islands Business reports the forum chair, the Fiji Prime Minister Sitiveni Rambuka, saying his office has received a letter confirming this intention from the Kiribati President Tanis Mamau. Mr. Rambuka visited Kiribati just over a week ago on his first official overseas visit since taking office. At the time, he said bringing Kiribati back into the forum was the visit's overall objective. Forum leaders are expected to meet in Fiji in March when Cook Islands Prime Minister Mark Brown will take over as forum chair. Kiribati left the group in July last year. Weather warnings for the Upper North Island in New Zealand tomorrow have been upgraded from orange to red. Met Service says the decision comes after collaborating with local authorities and concerns about the significant impact that further heavy rainfall on already saturated ground may cause. Civil defence units have been activated across the far north, Whangarei and Kaipara districts. Surface flooding and fallen trees are being predicted for Auckland, Northland and Coromandel, with bad weather expected to strike about 4 p.m. Waka Kotahi says a strong wind watch will be in place for the Auckland Harbour Bridge from midday until early Wednesday. Parts of Northland, especially north of Whangarei, could also see more than 200 millimetres of rainfall in around 24 hours. Coromandel is also in the firing line, with more slips likely on the peninsula. Greenpeace New Zealand is calling for the North Island's extreme rain and flooding event to be called a climate disaster. Spokesperson Amanda Larson says the weather bomb is a visceral reminder that climate change is happening now. Ms. Larson says climate change is already impacting people who are paying the price for it. She says it's not enough for politicians to talk about climate change. They must act to prevent further chaos by cutting climate heating gases and adapting society to become more climate resilient. The group is calling on Prime Minister Chris Hipkins to adopt a three-point climate rescue plan, which includes regulating dairy, electrifying transport, and keeping oil and gas in the ground. Fiji's controversial media laws are set to be put under the microscope by the new coalition government in the coming weeks. Deputy Prime Minister and Minister for Communications, Manoa Kamikamiva, told the Fiji Times that calls for a review of the Media Industry Development Act was a hot topic among media organisations and journalists. Mr. Kamikamiva said the government will begin with the review of the act due to start very soon. Media rights and press freedom advocates have labelled Fiji's media laws as draconian and among the toughest in the Pacific region. Prime Minister Sitiveni Rambuka has promised that his coalition will remove threats to media freedom that have no place in a democracy. Fiji will have to pay a multi-billion dollar bill if it wants to achieve carbon emissions cuts of 30% by 2030. FBC News reports the Minister for Public Works and Transport, Ro Filipe Tuisawau, saying for Fiji the target will require an investment of close to $3 billion. Christina Persico has more.
The minister made this statement at the just-ended 13th International Renewable Energy Agency ministerial intervention. Heading Fiji's delegation to global meetings on renewable energy and the future, the minister says the terrifying urgency for islands facing severe natural disasters means leaders are going global with their messages. Pacific Islands Forum Secretary General Henry Puna, who is no stranger to the event, says it is crucial to have Small Island Developing States, or SIDS, in global platforms to get the assistance needed. He says he's proud the Pacific is very committed to renewable energy, and all they need now is for development partners to come to their assistance and transform those visions into reality. SIDS like Fiji, Tonga and Tuvalu are working on getting their energy transition targets in place.
Samoa's Ministry of Health has started investigations into how a district hospital in Masina village at Whangaloa is now being used as an animal farm. The Samoa Observer reports the Minister of Health, Valasi Tafito Silisili, addressed the issue in Parliament in response to a request from Va'ofonuti MP Mau Siaosi Puipuemai for a new hospital at Whangaloa. The Minister of Health says when he was on his inspections around government hospitals, he saw the facility was filled with grass and looks like an animal farmhouse because there were cows there. Despite the investigations, Valasi has agreed to the request made by the Ba o Whonoti MP for a new hospital in their constituency, although it's still in progress. He urged the MP to submit a formal letter to his office when a piece of land has been confirmed for the hospital to be built on. One of only two addiction and mental health treatment facilities in the Northern Marianas may have to shut down due to a lack of government resources. The Hope Recovery Centre could be one of the casualties of budget tightening measures of the new administration of Governor Arnold Palacios following alleged financial mismanagement by the previous administration. The centre is akin to inpatient housing for people with addictions. The Office of the Attorney General's Criminal Division Chief Prosecutor, Chester Hines, believes closing it is a mistake, as the Hope Rehabilitation Centre has kept many of those with addiction and mental health issues off the streets and has provided them with the treatment they need. Legislation is pending in the American Samoa House of Representatives seeking to include stevedores or dock workers in guest worker permits. The current law, enacted several years ago, allows the recruitment and hiring of guest workers who are of Samoan ancestry born on independent states of Samoa to work in the cannery and call centre industries. However, the call centre industry has never materialised. Representative Sam Malaysia introduced legislation last week in the House of Representatives, deleting the call centre industry from the law and replacing it with the stevedoring trade. The bill states that the American Samoa Port Authority has experienced a 15% increase in cargo and container volume since 2020. In sports, Solomon Islands hotshot Rafael Leai has signed for Bosnian footballing giants FK Velez Mostar to become the first Solomon Islander to ever sign for a professional European club. The 19-year-old signed a one-year contract after a successful trial for the team known as the Rodeni. Craig Stephen reports.
The striker's deal includes the possibility of extending the contract for another year. Leai was a star for Henderson Eels FC, for whom he played in the OFC Champions League. After playing for the Solomons at various age group levels, Leai made his international debut in 2022 and now has 7 caps. He joins a club with a fated history. Velez Mostar was one of the most successful clubs in the former Yugoslavia, finishing runner-up in the National League 3 times in the 1970s and 1980s and reaching the quarterfinals of the UEFA Cup.
A Papua New Guinea girl has won an under-14s tennis competition in Australia. The National reports Koko Hakena has topped the Victorian Junior Grass Court Championship, beating Australian Charo Brown. Coco, who mostly competed in the under-12 division last year, is part of the Oceania Tennis Federation's junior team touring Australia this year. Her mum, Diane Hassavi, told the National that her daughter was progressing well in the tour following an impressive 2022 season in junior tournaments in Australia and topping the under-12 division at the Oceania Regional Junior Tournament in New Caledonia. That's sports and news from RNZ Pacific. There's more on our website, rnzi.com.